Okay. How many of you know that Billy Graham died last week? So most of us do know that, and significant individual in the world for the cause of Christ. He's gone to be home with the Lord. I think he died on Wednesday. Will be his actual funeral service will be next Saturday in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I think it's limited to, you know, just invitation only kind of thing. But yeah, very respected man, and comes from my home community actually in Asheville, North Carolina, where I'm from. So a call to a living hope. Let's get back to where we were have been going through. If you're just joining us, we've been working our way through the book of 1 Peter, and we've covered so far through chapter 2, verse 12, and our focus has been on a call to a living hope. It's also a call to be holy, and then last week we looked at a call to a holy priesthood, and that means being a sojourner, an exile, while we're on this planet Earth. And we'll pick up from there as we focus today on our theme of follow the leader. And that's 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 25. And I think if you got a bulletin today, there should be an insert in your bulletin with those scriptures. So follow the leader, 1 Peter 2, verse 13 through 25. And our focus comes from the sermon title. It comes from this verse 21, which is right in the middle of our today's passage. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. And that's 1 Peter 2, 21. And brings the question, what steps are we to follow in? What steps are being talked about here? Well, it's the steps of suffering to glory. He comes to earth, he suffers, but he's raised from the dead, and now he's glorified, and he's coming back with his glorious kingdom. And so what are the steps of suffering to glory? Well, first of all, if we are going to follow in his steps, these steps of suffering must learn to, here it comes, submit. 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 Okay. In 1 Peter 2, 13 through 25, our focus will be on submitting to civil authority and submitting to earthly masters. So this teaches us, this is a way in which we're learning what's it mean to follow in his steps. So let's look at submitting to civil authority first of all. And this is verses 13 through 17 of chapter 2, 1 Peter. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And this subject is be in submission to. Submit yourself, some versions will read. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Not for the country's sake, but for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself to every human institution. You know, the police, the IRD, we call it the IRS in the United States. We got to submit to everything. The housing authority, you know, we got to submit to the housing authority. If they say it's illegal, the structure, we got to tear it down and get it approved and build it back, no matter who we are. So we be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, the prime minister, the president, the chief executive officer, whoever it might be, or to the governors as sent by him, the representatives of the federal government, the representatives of the state and local government, city government, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So we know that the government is sent there to enforce laws. Now, we may disagree with some of those laws, and we may be live in societies where we can help shape those laws, but we still are to do what? To submit to every human institution for the Lord's sake. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. In other words, when we submit to civil authority, we are doing good, and this is the will of God. So when you pay your taxes, like you should, that is doing the will of God. When we get caught for speeding, not many of us drive golf carts too fast here, right? But anyway, if you get involved in an accident, it's your fault, and you get a ticket, you pay your ticket. You know, if someone says, hey, look, I'm sorry, that structure is illegal, you're going to have to tear it down. And yeah, we're fined here in DB. We take those risks sometimes, and we have to pay for that. But when we submit to civil authority, we're doing good, and this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Actual Greek word here is muzzle. You're going to muzzle these ignorant people from their, who are foolish, who don't see for the Lord's sake. They don't care about the Lord's sake. They just live for themselves. And it's, how many of you have ever raised an Alsatian or German Shepherd? Lovely dogs, beautiful dogs, beautiful dogs. I was a military in the United States Air Force. I was a military dog handler, and I had my first dog was called Gibby. And I was supposed to train Gibby how to be a military dog. Gibby trained me how to be a military handler. She was about 8 years experienced dog, and she was lovely, lovely, lovely dog. But yeah, when they start to growl, it's the year of the dog, so I can do this. You know, they just really barking loud, right? And scare you. And if you've ever been around an attack dog, you better watch out if they're not muzzled. But when they're muzzled, they're a little baby. Yeah. I've been in a lot of private conversations with friends in the last years about American presidents. And before Donald Trump, there was another president. What was his name? Obama, that's right. You remember, everybody just said kind things about Obama, right? No. If you're in conservative political circles, it could get kind of nasty. And same now, when people talk about President Trump, it can be very disrespectful. You show honor to Obama. You show honor to President Trump, President Obama, President Trump. You show honor in these private conversations, and you watch how that anger and that virility of coming out of the person you're talking with will just be muzzled. But if you want to add fuel to the fire, you can have a good time with that if you want to. But God is calling us to show honor and respect to those who are in authority and to submit to that. We might not agree with the policies, and we can speak to that, but how we speak to disagreement with policy is one thing, but the person is another, submitting to the person. So we live as people who are free, not using our freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Some people might pretend that they're submitting to government. Why? Because they want to get some financial gain or political leverage. They're just playing the game. They're not really, really being a submissive citizen. But we are not to do that. We as Christians are to live as people who are free. I'm not controlled by the government. I'm submitting to it, but I'm not controlled by the government, and I'm not trying to cover up for some evil gain that I'm trying to do, but I'm living as a servant of God. Now, this servant of God is the word for doulos, and you may remember this word from Scripture, and sometimes it's translated bond servant. It's a person who's been bought, and that's what, in our song this morning, we have been bought. And this is why we sing that song, Just As I Am, is without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. We've been bought by the blood of the living God, His only Son. So we belong to Him. We serve Him now. We no longer live for myself, but the life I live now in the flesh, I live unto the Son of God who has purchased me for His good works. So I'm free. I belong to God. I don't belong to people. So honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Actually, if we could just put this up in our house, make a great big painting of this, or right over the door as we go out every day, it would be great. You know, I could spend hours just preaching on this one verse. Honor everyone. The guys who clean the toilets down at the beach, honor that person. Honor the person who drives the bus like he's half crazy. You might want to mention to him, could you slow down, please? But honor the people who might not think exactly the way we think, and be kind to other people. Honor everyone, whether they're male, female, little person, or an old person. Particularly honor those old people. Okay. Honor everyone. Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, liberals, conservatives, Fox Network, CNN, Manchester United supporters. You get where I'm going at. Everyone in here. We're going to come across people, all types of people this week. And we got to remember, even though they seem to be so insensitive to what's going on around them, or perhaps what I'm trying to get done in the workplace or at the store or whatever, wherever life might take me, I'm to honor everyone. Okay, now I need you to help me out in this. I'm going to say honor, and you fill in the blank. Honor.
Everyone.
Okay, let's do it one more time. Honor.
Everyone.
Okay, so let me know when you get that knocked down, all right? Honor everyone. That's what we're supposed to do. Love the brotherhood. Now, this is referring to the Philadelphia love we have as a church family. So it's not just guys, come on guys, let's love, sisters, they don't know how to love. No, it's not that. It's the brotherhood of the whole church. Love the brotherhood. Deeply, earnestly, sincerely. It's already been spoken of in 1 Peter 1. So, I couldn't attend a party last night. Someone was celebrating their new citizenship. But I got a piece of cake from that party. Somebody loved me enough to bake the cake. Someone loved me enough to bring it home. Also got a cake from Singapore too. Anyway, it was lovely. Thank you. And it's just these little touches of love. They go a long way, right? Others of us, you're there to hold my hands when I'm going through some very terrible suffering stuff, because I know you love me as a Christian brother or sister. Fear God. I understand, God, that my journey on this planet is all directed by you. And so I live in all that knowing my life experience is being orchestrated somehow through your divine knowledge and guidance. I don't understand how you do all that, but it is, including where I find myself in the country of Hong Kong, or the special administrative region of China, and this thing, this communist thing next door, I don't understand it all, but I'm here. And so I need to honor the chief executive officer of Hong Kong. I need to honor the leadership of China. Billy Graham, of course, almost 100 years. You'd think he's 100 years old when you look at that, wouldn't you? But he was 99 years old, and I think November is his birth date, if I remember right. And anyway, he got along with a lot of presidents and ministered and to them, beginning with Truman. I didn't have one of him with Truman. That was Eisenhower. Here we see Nixon and Kennedy, President Clinton, and President Lyndon Johnson. Some living presidents here, the elder Bush, President Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton again. And now here he is with Bush Jr. and Laura. Okay. And of course, the most last guy to visit him in his home, I believe, was President Obama. So a man who knew how to honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. What a life testimony. He had many critics, but those are all muzzled. There's nothing that this guy really did a big slip up. Now, there's some people can argue and be critical about his life and his money and all that. But the man was very gentle, very humble, and God blessed him and used him as he honored the emperor as well. So not only are we to submit to civil authorities, but now we get into something a little bit more touchy, and that's submitting to earthly masters. And most of us don't find ourselves as being slaves to others, but I think we can make a parallel. Now, some may object and say, no, this is just to that situation of Roman slaves. But I think, no, we're dealing with something that can be applied directly to the workplace for today. So submit to earthly masters. Servants, be subject to your masters. Now, the word here is not doulos for servants, but more for oikotas, meaning those who work in the home, those who are home servants. Be subject to your masters with all respect. All respect. Be subject to your masters with all respect. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. I've heard of some domestic helpers here who said that their work was like a short order cook. They'd come to breakfast, and this person would want one thing, this person want another thing, and this person want one thing. Well, you got five people ordering, all right? Then you come to lunchtime, you got five people ordering. You come to supper, five people ordering. It's like they're running a restaurant, and they have to figure out all this stuff. I've heard of domestic workers that get up at 6 a.m., they don't go to bed at 12 midnight. That's burning the candle at both ends. That's not right. But to such domestic workers, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Now, when you get to abuse, right, you know, like I forget the famous lady who brought out that, was it the maid who brought out that lady who was burning her and all that kind of stuff? You know, we don't tolerate that. That's not what we're talking about. No, that kind of stuff is harmfulness. That's pure evil. That has to be addressed and confronted right up. So I think most of us know that and realize that, and there's plenty of organizations here in the city to help domestic workers that are in trouble, but more so we as a local church, and I sure all of the ladies who make up our Filipina Fellowship and beyond who are involved in domestic household work, if you ever have any problems that with being abused, you please let us know, all right? And we'll step in and fight on your behalf. The pastor and the elders. But in this situation, we all work for different people, and sometimes they're not good and gentle with us. Hopefully, I think most of us, we would say as Christians, and we interact with our domestic workers, we want to be good and gentle, right? We don't want to be in this other categories of unjust. But in the workplace, I know several of you, you're not domestic workers, but you're working in a workplace situation where you have to work under supervisors or employers who are not just. And they make life difficult for you. Well, the call here is to be submissive and to be subject with all respect. Here's a trick. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. It's estimated that 25 to 40% of all the Roman people who lived in the Roman Empire were slaves. That's a large number. But what they're doing by being submissive and being respectful to theirs is a gracious thing. Here it's repeated. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. So here it's even intimate and pointing out that perhaps these slaves were being beaten unjustly. And this is the unjust, being accused of doing things that they didn't do wrong, or you didn't clean it right, you didn't cook it right, and so I beat you. And well, it's saying when you suffer for doing good, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Another, what's this a gracious thing? What is this thing? Well, it's endurance by grace. As you can endure it by grace. Some of us need grace right now, right? I'm tempted to look at an individual. I'll try not to do that. It's none of you guys on the front row, okay? So I'll stare at you guys. But there's a person out there I know, they've shared with me and talked to me about the workplace, and it's pretty tough right now, right? And they're wondering, how in the world did I get in this position where I got to work with this person, you know? Have you ever been there? How many are there now? Raise your hand. No, I won't do that. Okay. Touche turtle. Okay. But it's a gracious thing, you know. God gives us grace to endure. Evelyn definitely needs grace to put up with me, that's for sure. Okay. But our natural reaction is we want to fight back and get even, you know. I'm going to show them, I'm going to reveal this, and I'm going to show, you know, da, 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 they're stupid and I'm smart, blah, 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 you know. I'm going to get back. I'm not going to stand for this any longer. Or we go to the other thing, and we're really very passive. We don't do anything, but we complain a lot, and we blame them a lot, and we have a lot of self-pity parties going on, right? No. It's love that conquers, guys, and that's what we're called to do, is submit. And sometimes we do suffer unjustly in the workplace. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Now remember, you've been called. You've been called what? To a living hope. You've been called to live holy lives. You've been called to a holy priesthood. And you've been called to this thing, to suffer while you're on the planet in the workplace. Is Peter giving slavery a thumbs up? No, he's not. He's not. Let me explain something. Doulos and bondservant. Doulos means that you become a bondservant, you've been purchased. Now, granted, the Roman slave trade flourished. But you know what? Let's say I had a business of shipping, and I had a ship, and I borrowed money to build this ship, and I told the guy I borrowed from, you know, just this one shipment of nice wool down to Israel, and I'll sell it, and, you know, we'll be all right. And he said, okay, we'll do that. And then all my ship breaks up, and I have a storm, and I lose my cargo, and there's no way in the world I can pay my debt. And the guy says, okay, I'm going to sell you to be a bondservant. So that's a little different than going down to Africa and chaining up people and whipping them and making them go work on some plantation. It's different. Not that it's right. I don't say it's right. I'm not arguing for that. But it's a different setting and a different way. It looks more like this. This is a Roman family at home. It's not a southern plantation where they're out picking cotton or raising tobacco. No, they're working to make a household work. And some of these servants, you can figure out who's a servant and who's not. I think those two little people playing there, they're not servants. But to make a long story short, they're working in the house. And sometimes you work for a good household, sometimes you don't. And I think our domestic workers here, you can identify with that. You've had good contracts and you've had bad contracts. And you know what it's like. And this is what is going on in a Roman family. Now, as a bondservant, you could earn enough money, save enough money, and then buy your freedom. Or you can have the master say, you know, look, you're free. Take off. So it's a little bit different situation than what happened in the slave trade involving the capture and, how can I say, crimes against humanity that was done in Africa and taken to the United States, which caused a civil war. 1 Corinthians 7, 21-23 reads, "Were you a bondservant when called?" Meaning, were you finding yourself as this domestic worker for a Roman home? "Well, do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity." It's great if you can get your freedom. All right? "For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord." So in Christ, you're free, but you still work as a bondservant. "But likewise, he was free when called as a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men." So in our spirit, we can submit, we can work, because we know we truly are the servants of Christ. And so, yeah, I don't work for Cathay. Who do I work for? I work for Christ. And if you're a domestic worker, I don't work for the Buckner family. I work for Christ. If you're a teacher, I don't work for Discovery College. I work for Christ. And the same can be said. I don't work for DBICC. Ev doesn't work for DBICC. We work for Christ. We work for Christ. We're his servants. Yeah, there's this thing going on around us, right? We have employers. We have positions in life. And some of us are fortunate that we are the business owner. We are the employer of other people. But as this is not my business, it's Christ's business. I'm his servant. So 1 Corinthians is telling us, and there's other points of Scripture, is that no, we do not support slavery. And if you can get your freedom, get it, okay? "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Christ, the Creator, humbling himself, and he learns the trade of a carpenter. And somewhere along that line, while he was learning carpentry from his father, most likely Joseph, he's learning he's got to submit to his dad. I mean, the one who created the forest. But his calling on life was not to be a carpenter, but to be the Messiah, the teacher, the prophet, the king. And as he began his ministry, which brought healing and all kinds of stuff he did, he was belittled and suffered. I mean, it's like having a PhD in everything, and he's looked down upon and not accepted. He's ridiculed. So he is the one who's left us an example how to follow. So when we're in the workplace, don't forget how Christ suffered in his workplace. He committed no sin. He committed no sin. Now, you and I can't say that. We have committed no sin. We know we have sinned against other people. We sinned against ourselves in word, deed, and thought. We know we have done wrong. We fall short of the glory of God. We're not constantly loving people. We're not constantly honoring people and dearly loving the brotherhood. No, we have sinned against the brotherhood. We've not honored people. We on this horizontal level, we have our problem. But in this vertical level, we do not submit to God and worship him the way we were created to. We have fallen short. We have a sin problem. But him, Jesus, committed no sin. No sin. No sin, and that's what makes him acceptable to God the Father as the sin substitute, if you will. He becomes sin on our behalf. We'll look at the verse in that coming up. "But neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Jesus does not sin by his thoughts, by his actions, but here, the emphasis is on his words. There was no deceit found in his mouth. Hey, look, I'm not the one blaspheming. It was Peter. You know, you better nail him to the tree. You know, he didn't lie. Revile? You think I'm the one who's blaspheming? It's these Pharisees. They're the ones who are. No, he didn't do that. Or threaten. He said, "You just wait. You think you're going to crucify me? You wait when my father comes back. He's going to nail you guys. He's going to show you something. He's going to burn you all up and send you to hell." You know, Christ didn't talk that way on the cross. What did he say? "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing." Submit. I don't know a word about, I don't know anything about how to submit. But the Christ says, "Follow my steps and I'll teach you. I'll teach you." James. What you got to learn is this last bit, but continue entrusting yourself to him who judges justly. And so people who have wronged you in the workplace, people who have wronged you in your business investments, you know they have cheated and lied and done bad things to you. They have been unjust. They will be judged. Now, there's certain times we have to go into the civil proceedings. I won't get into that today, but believe me, rest assured, a lot of people spend a lot of money on litigation and they lose in the courts when they are absolutely in the right. Who's going to judge that? Him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The one who's going to judge bore our sins in his body on the tree. He knows how I have failed to love as I should love others and to love God. He knows that, and he bore that in his body on the tree, the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Let's see. By his wounds you have been healed. This verse is actually flowing out of Isaiah 53. And I think it's verse 5, yeah. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace, and by his words we are healed." James, he was pierced for you, for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities, James, and upon him was the punishment that brought you peace with God. And by his wounds, James, you are healed. Hundreds of years. This whole chapter of Isaiah 53, speaking of the suffering servant. Speaking of your Lord and my Lord. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So that's why we say no longer the sin of doing life my way, but no, I'm going to do life as God leads, as God directs. I'm going to live according to his right way of living. And then it says, by his wounds you have been healed. Healed? I don't know of any of you that are here this morning that might be suffering from some very difficult things. But there could be. I know poor Bonnie has been going on with this bronchitis or something or another. And I hope you're feeling better this morning, love. Bonnie's my wife, excuse me. And anyway, You've dealt with the flu this week, or some people have over this last period. It's been not nasty, right? So we want to be healed. Some of us have been healed from that. Some of us aren't completely healed. But what kind of healing is being taught here? By his wounds you are healed. Christ bleeding, does that bring us physical healing? Well, in a sense, ultimate sense, yes, because we are all going to be resurrected from the dead because of that power, of that blood. But you and I all suffer from a disease called soul sickness. You know what that is? Soul sickness? You know, I grew up with James Brown, you know, I'm a soul man. You know, you remember that kind of stuff? Soul music. From soul sickness, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He's bringing us back. When we see the great love of God in Christ Jesus on that cross, it's a shout, Father God loves you, James. Father God loves you. You fill in the blank, your name. He loves me. He gave His Son who died, who took my sins on His body. And those wounds bring me back to where, say, now I can follow and rest my life with the shepherd and the overseer of me. I don't do life alone. He guides me. Healed. By His wounds we are healed. So what's the point? Let God shepherd, and it should without the R, let God shepherd and oversee your souls. Where is the crunch in your life right now? Is it in the family? Is it in the workplace? Is it in your block where you live? Where is life hard and difficult for you? Is it something you're dealing with physically? You have an illness. Whatever it might be, just open your heart and pour it out to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He understands. He's guiding your experience. And for some of us, it might be involving political things. It might not be. For the majority of us, we're kind of apolitical here in Hong Kong as visitors. Some of us are citizens of this city, and we are very involved. But others, most of us are just kind of riding the wave here. We don't have really political concerns. But what is your concerns with civil authority? Don't just talk to your neighbor about politics. Talk to God about it. He's the overseer. He's your shepherd. Keep following Christ to glory. I wish I could say that you're in my path, you know, is what do we say, Gung Hei Fat Choi or something. That kind of implies that, you know, if you have prosperity, you're not going to have problems, you know. Chut Ya Ping On, you know, all your going ins and outs. These are Chinese phrases for Cantonese. You know, may you have peace. Why, you can experience the peace of God in the midst of great suffering. But where are we going? Now, I'll bring up old Billy one more time. My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. Let's pray. Father, it seems that Peter is repeating himself in these couple of chapters of 1 Peter. And he just wants us to understand that life is one of difficulties and suffering. And it could be in the political world, if we will call it that, or the civil society. It can be in the place of employment. But no matter how tough it gets, to remember our eyes focus on Christ and the suffering He endured as an example that we should follow in His footsteps. And I pray, Father, that I'll remember that this week, and I pray that for my friends, that You've left us an example, Lord Jesus, to follow. And Lord, You know, we can't do it in that way. We do want to fight back, Lord. We want to get even. I know I'm a kind of a fighter guy, and others of us aren't so fighting, but just have self-pity. Deliver us from these natural reactions. And pour Your grace upon us. that we'll be a people who submit as unto you, that we will be your bondservant and no other. Thank you again, Lord, for speaking to us afresh this morning as we make our way one more week toward heaven. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.